Hey everybody, it's Rider Club Radio's spoiler cast.
Hey,
Kamen Rider Agito, you've been waiting with bated breath and asking us over and fucking over again when we were gonna do this. The time is now.
People like spoiler casts.
Yeah.
They like them.
Even though we completely gloss over 90% of the program on spoiler casts.
Because we have an hour.
I'm Jeff, by the way.
And I'm Liam. And we figured, or I figured at least, that it was pointless to do FIES since we already spent like 20 weeks shitting all over it.
Yeah, we made the mistake once of doing Drive right after finishing Drive, and we were just sort of like stumbling over what the fuck to say about it since we've been talking about it forever.
But Agito, I watched on my own, Jeff saw a million years ago.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me if I stumble around a bit in this spoiler cast. I haven't seen Agito since the Paleolithic era.
But Jeff remembers it crystal clear, don't worry.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember what I had for lunch today, buddy.
Okay. We picked a good week to do this, actually, because not shit happened in the news. Fucking nothing happened this week. So.
That's good. I don't know if we're supposed to not date these podcasts anyway or something, the spoiler casts.
We have never fucking ever bothered.
No.
So.
No. We can't be asked to do any of that. But
I remember right after I finished Agito, there was a golf week. And we were like, should we do a spoiler cast? Nah, let's just talk about the Agito movie instead. Fuck it.
Because I didn't remember Agito worth a shit.
Yeah, it's true.
And I still don't. Well, I do to a certain degree, but Liam will probably be leading the conversation this time.
I will help Jeff along.
He's my seeing eye dog.
I will be his eyes. Okay, so where the fuck do we start? Agito is the story of Shoichi Sugami, or at least
no,
a man who thinks
not.
His name. Agito is the story of Sawaki Tetsuya.
There you go.
Who thinks his name is Shoichi Sugami.
He washes up on a beach holding only a letter in his hand that says Shoichi Sugami on it. And he just assumes that he wrote the letter to himself.
This must be me.
Which, I mean,
letter.
It's the first name you see, and nobody else around you has anything to do with the name. You're like, well, I guess it's me.
It's probably me. I got this letter in the mail and ran off to the beach, and then fell unconscious.
Agito is a miracle program, because its main plot point is amnesia, and it doesn't end up being hokey or contrived.
No, it plays it out to its logical conclusion, and it's usually, most stories when they use amnesia, it's like, they have to make a character conveniently forget something, or it's like a cheap one-episode plot, where they're like, ooh, we gotta do to get this guy's memory back.
Or else they drag it out for fucking 40 years, like Wolverine.
Wolverine, half of his character is that he is no shit.
I don't remember my past. Ever.
Isn't that tragic?
He does
Tune
eventually.
Next week.
He does an X-Men yeah. 2, the last, that's the third one. An X-Men 2, X-Men United?
Okay. X-Men United, I think.
But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Agito.
So Agito's the story of a guy who thinks he's Shoichi Sugami. These people appear, these mysterious monsters called unknowns. Or the police call them unknowns.
Yeah, they're actually lords, although we never learn that in the series. No one ever
lords.
Says that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in this series, actually, where we
Why
know...
no one says anything?
We know names of things because of supplementary materials, and that's it.
Yeah. And he fights the lords, and he has the help of a police rider named Makoto Hikawa, and a guy with a really fucked up life named Ryo.
Whose life literally never gets any better.
No, he does not piece that shit back together.
No,
ever.
He ends up alone with a puppy. That's his happy ending.
That's
spoilers.
Too bad you,
on the
spoiler you lost
cast.
Your girlfriend. You lost your girlfriend and the other girl you like died, but here's a dog.
You have no friends, no family, no purpose in life, but at least you have a dog.
Your futures crumble around you, have a corgi.
It's cute.
It's cute. What I really like the most about Agito, though, is its villain, the overlord, the dark overlord.
Oh yeah, the god of darkness.
Yeah, he's so interesting to me, because he starts as this little baby, and then he grows into an adult, but his motivation is really cool, in that he's like, I, you know, there's these humans... We created these humans, me and my brother, the God of Light, or whatever, the Light Overlord.
They're the Overlord of Light, yeah.
Yeah. And I love humans. They're the best. I love them. But these Agitos are not humans. They're dangerous. Fuck them. Well, I'm going to kill all of them.
He's not entirely clean hands with this, since he murders his own brother. Because his brother makes the Agitos. He's like, you fucked with my humans. I'm going to kill you. And then he's like, also, I'm going to wipe out all your fucking Agitos, too, because I'm a petty asshole.
But I do like that. I like that he's essentially God and he sends his angels to fuck Agito's up.
I like that his motivation is completely understandable, too. Like, you've been so powerful. It'd be like if you had sea monkeys. If you, like, had some sea monkeys in a little aquarium and they started fucking gaining powers that could maybe hurt you. You would be like, shit, I gotta kill these sea monkeys all fast.
The best scene... okay, before we get into really deep spoilers, just go... Agito's good. Go watch it.
Yeah, it's a really great series. I think I spoiled the ending already,
so... You spoiled Ryo's ending. Yeah. You spoiled that Ryo gets a dog. That's not a big thing. Okay. But before we get into real spoilers, go watch Agito if you haven't seen it. Turn this shit off.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
This isn't one of those things that you can just listen along with and then come back to the show later or whatever. We're gonna spoil everything.
We're gonna spoil the shit out of this. It's a spoiler cast.
It's in the name.
Right there. The best scene in the whole show is when Shoichi manages to get through the Overlord's shield and punch him in the face with Hikawa's help. He punches him in the thing, and he's holding his face like, what the fuck? It's like you said, what if one of your sea monkeys jumped into the tank and slapped you and you actually felt it a little?
Yeah.
You'd be like, holy shit, all these guys have to die today.
Well, that's the thing.
This is it.
Like, Hikawa has something to do with it, right? And he's like, oh shit, wait. Humans are all shitty. I'm gonna kill all humans now.
Oh, God.
And
it's beautiful.
I feel like Hikawa should have been like, oh, I fucked up.
Uh-oh. He just wanted to be useful. He struggles. Hikawa is another character I love. He's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Hikawa's a great character in that he should, for all intents and purposes, be the rider who, like, never really succeeds because his equipment is shitty compared to everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through, like, his intelligent use of it and force of will that he pushes through it.
He really still does get his ass kicked a lot,
He does get his ass kicked a lot. And also, like, we talk about how hard he struggles and how he fights against the unknowns, the lords, but they're literally not allowed to hurt him.
Yeah.
So maybe not that much. If you don't know, well, of course you know, this is the point where you should have fucking stopped listening if you haven't seen Agito, but the lords aren't allowed to hurt normal humans, so Hikawa is completely safe for the entire series.
You don't know that watching, but at the end, or like towards the end when it starts revealing what the lords are all about, you realize that he was never really a target.
Yeah, one of the lords tries to kill him, and then the Overlord of Darkness, like, forces him to kill himself.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I forgot about that bit.
Yeah.
So
it's spelled out to you a little bit, just with no words, but eventually they tell you all this stuff, and you're like, oh, that's why that dude killed himself.
Yeah. Because he's not allowed.
He's against the rules.
You can't kill humans. Makoto is cool, because he's like, when he starts, he is weaker than every other rider.
He is.
Agito and Gills outclass him.
Which is great. It's really great that he's weaker than them, because his suit, although, you know, it's the canonicity is debatable, his suit was created to fight the Grongi.
Yeah, it was created to mimic.
So when the lords show up, who are literally like fucking angels of God or whatever, his bullets don't do shit against them because they're just the high pressure bullets from Kuga.
Yeah, the gas bullets were from Kuga, I believe. Was it the gas bullets from Kuga or the gas bullets from this one?
I think they're in both.
Yeah, because he has the special Grongi bullets.
Which
I believe they're the gas bullets. Yeah, they do nothing against the overlords, or the lords, which is hilarious. And he struggles so hard, and he finally gets his upgrade, and his upgrade G3X puts him on the level of Agito and Gills, and then they both get upgrades, and he's just in the dust again.
Also, G3X is his fucking double-edged sword because of the AI that's built into it that completely fucks him over.
Yeah, it's when he first gets it. I like that arc. He's the AI struggles against him because he fights it.
Liam's favorite character plays a big part in that arc.
Hojo?
Hojo. Toru Hojo.
God, I love Taru Hojo.
Hojo's a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what I love
about
him.
He's not a piece of shit in the same way that, like, Kusaka from Fies is a piece of shit because he's entertaining. Mm. Hojo isn't entertaining and is a piece of shit.
He's not, like, hammy. He's just, like, a spoiled brat. He always wants what he gets what he wants.
Hate him. And it's so funny that he ends the series with literally no comeuppance for anything he's done.
That's my favorite. He doesn't die. He doesn't lose his job. Nothing.
He doesn't even get his ass beat or anything.
Nope. Ozawa, I believe her name is, kicks him in the balls once. That's the end of it. And then they fall in love.
That's the worst part. The worst thing that happens to him in the whole show.
Well, I mean, he gets beat up as G3 once? Twice,
once.
I believe.
I think he gets beat up once and then he's like, fuck it. Done.
I remember he puts on the G3 outfit and he falls in the mud and then he's like, fuck this, and throws it all off and runs away.
What a bitch.
God, I love him.
I hate him.
I love him. Shoichi is another great part. I guess we've danced around the protagonist of the show a lot, but Shoichi is one of the parts that really uplifts the show. I think all the other characters around him are a little more interesting, as usually is with Kamen Rider, but Shoichi is really...
Shoichi's more entertaining than they are.
Yeah.
Like, they're more interesting as characters, but he's more entertaining in the way that he interacts with everyone, because he's like a giant man-child.
He's a lovable goofball.
He's like all of the ridiculous parts of Godai put into one person. With no other traits, and it works perfectly.
He's the stock toku protagonist number one.
And it's funny,
the lovable goofball.
It's funny that it never really explains why he just goes like he like shoots straight up and then runs off to fight enemies and never speaks.
Yeah, one seems to notice, or no one seems to care later.
The audience is just left to like put the pieces together that oh, he's probably like overtaken by a battle trance or something.
Mm.
Because he doesn't even speak for all over, like over half the show, Agito never says a word.
Yeah.
I think the first thing he says, according to what I was reading earlier, is when his bike turns into the hovercraft, he goes, "What?" And that's the first line Agito speaks in the entire show.
So confusing, it breaks through his battle trance. Huh?
Man, if your motorcycle turned into a fucking hovercraft, you'd be like, "What?"
Re-examining all of your reality. You told me when I first started watching Agito that when he turns into Agito, it's almost like he's taken over by a different presence.
Yeah,
and it does kind of feel that way.
It's never explained though.
Like in in Toku, a lot of like a silly character will fight silly. The green Gokaiger kind of comes to mind.
Yeah, Don Dogo or whatever.
That's it. Shoichi's very silly, but he fights like a total badass.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's... A lot of Kamen Riders are like that. But, like, even Ryuki, right? You look at Ryuki the year after. Shinji's kind of an idiot, and he's not very good at fighting. He gets his ass kicked a lot. It shows in his fighting.
Shoichi is a super badass when he fights.
Like, he's unstoppable.
It probably helps that, like, the greatest Toku theme ever made is playing behind him when he's doing his attacks and everything.
Believe Yourself. You can't lose if Believe Yourself is playing.
Although, I think he does once.
I'm sure.
Believe Yourself is playing and he gets the shit knocked out of him and it changes to the, like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. If there's one thing I didn't like so much about Agito, it's that a lot of its tracks aren't that great. There's a couple of shiners. I like Believe Yourself, obviously.
Well,
it's got a
like,
fantastic opening theme.
Fantastic opening theme. Believe Yourself is amazing. Deep Breaths is
Deep
an amazing
Breaths
song.
Deep Breaths is fucking incredible.
Otherwise, it's a whole lot of incidental music.
I don't mind music just being incidental. Obviously, Kamen Rider's full of it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's I don't like the sound of it. It's a little too tribal. I get that that's the point that they're going for, but
yeah.
They go so far with it sometimes. Where it's sometimes it's just, like, a really low, like, what's the word? I want to, like, a low din of, like, drums and weird horns, and I just don't like that sound.
It's like a fucking Eraserhead soundtrack.
Yeah.
Kamen Rider. The thing about Shoichi that I probably enjoy the most, at least when he's Agito, is the fact that even when he's losing or whatever, he never speaks. Like, it's so strange for a Kamen Rider not to deliver, like, impassioned speeches and shit. But he doesn't. He's like, he's more of a tool for the Agito itself. Like, the evolution beyond himself is like a different person almost.
Mm-hmm.
But as the series goes on, those two personalities become much closer.
It's a weird thing that they, like you said, a lot of things in Agito remained unsaid, and that they don't really do anything with, specifically.
Well, speaking of remaining unsaid, you know in the opening it shows the tapestry that has the creation myth on it.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I was under the impression that the show had supplementary materials that came out around the time that it came out that explained what that tapestry meant. Mm. But no, that tapestry was, the meaning behind it was revealed in 2013.
What?
When Toei released the tapestry to be purchased, and it came with a sheet that tells the story that the tapestry has on it.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, that was news to me when I was reading about it earlier. But when Agito came out in 2002?
One.
2001. So over 10 years later.
Fucking 12 years.
And Toei was like, oh, we should probably tell people what that meant.
We should probably explain anything in this show.
And the tapestry looks like it has Kugo on it. It's actually just Agito's burning form.
Oh. Shit.
I thought it was Kugo, and I thought that was really fucking cool, but it's not.
Yeah, it's fine. Is there any other weird factoids in there that you got, or is it just a pretty simple
thing? Yeah, the Grongi talk about the Linto tribe.
Really?
In Kuga. Like, they mention, like, the humans being the Linto or whatever. Mm-hmm. And apparently, according to the tapestry, the, not the angels, they are angels, but the lords are Linto. They're fucking, like, ascended Linto.
So they're humans?
They were at some point, according to the tapestry. Humans?
That's nuts.
Yeah. And, like, the Linto and the Grongi were at war, and the original Kuga was a Linto.
A human with the belt.
It's really fucking weird. Like,
that is cool.
I don't know whether that's real or I just read it in a bunch of places, but it's fucked up if it's real.
That's such a weird thing about Agito, is for four episodes, they... Yeah, it's Kuga continuation. Just like Showa, it has a sort of tenuous connection with the show before it, but not quite 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And then in later, they're just like, ah, actually, fuck that.
Well, it's an interesting story. The writers behind Kuga were fucking pissed that it was
really a
continuation, because it made it seem like Kuga's entire struggle was completely pointless.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. He spent so long fighting for everyone's smiles.
So they were like, well, one, that negates everything he did, that there are new monsters that are even stronger. And two, he would not just be fucking hanging out on a beach somewhere if there were horrible monsters attacking Tokyo.
Yeah.
And the new writers were like, well, I guess we'll just fucking cut it then, asshole. Whatever.
That's funny. I still think there could have been a way.
There probably could have been.
There could have been. All you gotta do is come up with an excuse for Kuga not to be there, but I do agree that it kind of cheapens...
I guess that's spoilers for Kuga. Let's not get into that.
Come up with a reason why Kuga's not there. But I do agree that it does kind of cheapen his struggle.
It does.
Like, if you were watching a series and it's like, oh yeah, it's the same world as Gaim, and now the Overlords 2 are here... And you're like, well, I mean, this world is done. Like, the story is over here.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of cheapen it. That having been said, I've said this before. Fucking do it or don't do it when it comes to crossovers. I'm not dead set on there being a crossover, but you started it, goddammit, so finish it.
Yeah, it feels half-assed that they just drop it. And they're like, let's not mention that ever again.
I think the official story is... Agito takes place in a world after Number 4 defeated the unknown life forms or whatever. If you want it to.
That's what the producer said. He said, I know this feels like a half-assed response, but that's the way it's gotta be.
That's my hands are tied here.
And I can't really blame him too much. The show itself, though, does an exceptional job of making the monsters seem monstrous and having there be some sort of, like, mystery surrounding why they're doing what they're doing. The Grongi are just doing it for fun. It's just a game for them, and it's pretty obvious that's what it is from the beginning.
Yeah, they have their little counting ring or whatever.
But, like,
they've got their fucking abacus that changes it, yeah.
The Lords are a little bit more mysterious than that, because they show up and they do this, like, penance thing. They make, like, a cross. And then they have, like, halos and shit. And they only attack weapons. Specific people.
Yeah, they pull their weapons out of halos above them, which is so cool.
It is, such a though. Cool... They stole that for Garo, actually.
For Garo?
They stole it in Garo. Like, yeah. Garo stole it from this, except, like, the armor comes out of a halo they make over their head.
That's still pretty cool.
It is really dope. But you should watch Garo, by the way.
I really should. I really should.
I really love that series. Neither here nor there. The Lords are mysterious. The whole, like, what Shoichi's backstory is super mysterious. And then you have the super mysterious baby.
The super mysterious baby. The baby that grows up so fast.
The most mysterious baby in the world.
I was an idiot. I thought the baby was going to grow into an old man.
Why?
Because he's growing so fast. I thought he would grow into an old man or something. But
it would make more sense if he did.
They grow him into a not child actor, so they don't have to deal with child actors, and then they just leave him, which is the smart thing.
Yeah, he becomes like a teenage heartthrob.
Yeah, he turns into. Imagine if he was ugly. Just like a kind of chubby dude with dumb looking eyes.
That's God.
Here he is.
This is neither here nor there again, but I just wonder how, like, actual, like, practicing Christians in Japan felt about this series.
Well, it's interesting because they never actually call it God.
No, they never.
They're not specifically gods and angels. The Overlord. They're just kind of implied.
The Overlord and the Lords.
But they're implied. Like, they use that imagery a lot. Like I said, with the halos and they kind of cross themselves before they fight. But Japan is usually a lot more lax with religious imagery and stuff.
You look at Evangelion.
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely.
It gets more intense, for sure.
Yeah,
so like, they probably just don't give a shit.
It's not a huge deal over in Japan. In fucking here, it's like, you can't even show a cross, or else four kids will be banging down your door.
In Canada?
In the West, I mean. I used to remember I would watch four kids shows, and no crosses allowed. All tombstones would just be regular old tombstones.
It's true. No cigarettes either. They were lollipops.
No I wish we could have a Rider show that was censored like that. Like, horrendously.
That would be hilarious. You know what's funny? I saw a bunch of images of Bulma's dad in Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. And in the Japanese version, it looked like... I just thought somebody had photoshopped a cigarette into his mouth in every frame. And in all the photos I saw of it anyway, and then when I was older I eventually learned that we photoshopped the cigarette out in every single frame he was
the
in.
The world was actually upside down the whole time.
And if you watch it, if you watch like the four kids version where the cigarette's gone, you can see like this little line of skin tone that moves wrong when he's talking and shit. Anyway.
You know what I love about the Overlords is they always commit impossible crimes. They
never
just stab a guy. It's always like they drown him in the middle of a park in dry land.
Or they turn a man into pure ash and he blows away on the wind and shit.
My favorite one, though, the one that stuck with me, is there's an Overlord that can touch you and make you pass through solid matter.
As long as it's touching you.
And they throw a lady down a building so that she falls through every floor and just hits the bottom floor. So it's like she dies from that massive impact, but she fell through the building.
Which is awesome.
That Lord is also, I believe, the second and last person in Kamen Rider, at least in Heisei, to murder a child when she shoves a young basketball-playing child into a wall.
I don't know. And I feel like children have been murdered in other things.
I know Kuga has a kid get decapitated. Agito has the kid get shoved into a wall. I can't think of a single other instance in Heisei where a kid actually dies on screen, not just implicit.
Japan, soft on child murder?
What a bunch of pussies.
God. We just murder children all the time on Western TV. We definitely don't make games where there's literally no children in them, because we know you'll kill them if we put them in the game.
Tune into Phineas and Ferb. They're killing kids left, right, and center.
Phineas and Ferb?
I don't know. Just an American cartoon. First one that popped in my head.
I don't even know if that's still on TV.
Is it not on TV
anymore? I have no idea.
I don't know. I never watched it.
I didn't either. I was 87 years old when it came on. So
way too old, yeah.
The storyline, the progression of the story is, I feel like, is very well handled. I mean, Kuga is slow. The way story is doled out in Kuga gets glacial at points. Mm-hmm. I feel like Agito is far more even in how quickly it doles out story. I feel like the story is, I wouldn't say less compelling. It's just as compelling, maybe even more, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the characters are great in Agito, but nobody touches Godai.
No, obviously. No one here is as cool as Godai.
No, he is a cool guy.
He's like Shoichi if Shoichi was like a real person. Yeah. He's kind of goofy, but he still has serious moments and emotions, and he gets angry sometimes.
Shoichi is... He's like a tiny, tiny child in the body of an adult man.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's so innocent and naive and nice, and except he says things that are like really would hurt someone's feelings horribly, and he just says them bluntly and no one ever calls him out on it.
He calls it like he sees it.
He calls Hikawa like flaky.
Yeah.
And says like, "You're a policeman?"
My favorite scene, my number one favorite scene in Kuga, is the one with Hikawa and the tofu. When he's trying to pick up the tofu. Did I say Kuga?
Yes.
Agito. The one with Hikawa picking up the tofu. And he's trying to pick up the tofu and he just cannot do it because he can't use the chopsticks. And it's like, it's the bit where they're trying to figure out who should use G3X, and yeah. Hikawa thinks he's not good enough. And he's like, I can lift this tofu, just watch me. And he slips out of his hand and... he finally gets it, and Shoichi's like, "You know, if that was soft tofu, you would have shredded it. You were really rough with it." And Hikawa's like, "Oh, bring me some soft tofu, then I'll do it." And Shoichi's like, "We're all out." And he's like, he picks up his shit. He's like, "I'll go get some." And he runs. he's a well-rounded character. He's a very well-rounded secondary writer. They managed to make him, like, he conflicts with the main character, kind of. They butt heads, but he's not like a dick. Like, he's 100% good guy.
That's really difficult to pull off.
Yeah, it's just he's very eager to prove himself, and he wants to prove himself to the people around him, and there's this weird layabout who's kind of showing him up sometimes, and it's
I like that he tries to learn from him all the time, too. Like, he tries to learn his methodology, and he's like, "What's the secret?" And the most famous line in Kamen Rider history happens when he says, "The secret is good eats, smooth poops."
I want to say, I watched Gomen Rider's translation of this,
mm-hmm.
and they did a fantastic job. My favorite bit, I always say, here's my favorite scene. I have a lot of favorite scenes in Agito, it's a very good show. There's one part where he's baking, and Taichi, the little Mana's little sister, or little brother, is like hitting the flour, making it poof out. And he's like, "Taichi, fucking cut that out." And Taichi runs into the other room. And Agito, or Shoichi, he says, the fucking sub's like, "Taichi, why you gotta do me like this?" I love that bit. And of course there's the, he's doing a cake class, and he's like, "Anyways, let's get baked." That's all these middle-aged women. I'm like, what the fuck did you say?
Chrissy didn't say either of those things, really.
Probably it was a different joke in Japanese, but the way they
it works much better
it worked
for us.
Perfectly. Yeah. It's a tough thing, like, when a joke just doesn't translate, mm-hmm. to figure out what to do. And those subbers, they make the difficult choices every day.
Shoichi is such a simple character. When the revelation that he's not who he thinks he is comes about, and he finds the real Shoichi Sugami, I feel like we as an audience feel that very heavily, because this tiny soul, this small child in an adult body, has his world opened back up again when he was very happy in the place he was. And I there's a lot of things in this series that are really effective to me, and that's one of them.
It's a compelling thing about Agito is that there are a lot of ruined lives.
Yeah.
Like, Ryo's whole arc is that his life is fucked forever. And there's Agito's whole...
The weirdest shit about that is it never gets resolved. Like, he's never getting a life back. He's never even getting a new one.
Like, it resolves in, like, a narrative sense, right? Like, he decides to move on, and he gets a dog. But it's like a Kamen Rider Black ending, where it's like, well, you're fucked. You beat the bad guy, but your life is shit now. Congratulations.
Congratulations, I guess.
And even Shoichi, like, he loses his fucking sister.
Yeah.
Who kills herself because of the Agito curse. And his whole life is just shaken up, and he has to build it back up again.
I will say that Kamen Rider Agito has my favorite version of human evolution in it. Ever.
What's that? The fast one?
No, the next evolution of humanity is Kamen Rider. That's way cooler than just getting one superpower and having to move in with a bald man.
That's where we're all heading towards.
And nobody else becomes Agito's, really, because they keep getting fucking killed off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine if all of them became Kamen Rider Agitos.
That's the interesting thing, because that's what the Overlord's trying to avoid. That's the chaos of, like, all these randos getting these Kamen Rider powers, especially if they become, like, full, not failed Agitos. We're just like, oh, fuck, your power's infinite.
Is his sister the one that, like, her face gets, like, covered with the Agito CG?
Her face gets a terrible CG effect over it briefly. Yeah. She turns into Agito for like 2 seconds in a room.
Yeah.
Right before she kills herself, yeah.
God, I wouldn't. If that happened to me, I'd be like, fuck yeah!
There's another character. This is the thing that I don't really like about Agito. Let's get negative here.
Oh no!
Fuck this show! In the last third is like, oh, we can't solve the mystery too fast. And then it starts to really slow down. It starts to turn into a little bit of Kuga.
Little bits.
They keep the smart thing about Agito is they have subplots to keep you going. They have fucking Mana thinking she accidentally murdered her father and stuff like that to keep you. It's something to snack on while you wait for the actual plot to resolve. Hey. But it does get to that point where you're like, when are we gonna stop with this shit and figure out what the fuck the Agitos are? Like, I always figured they'd figure that out and then keep going with the story.
That was the end.
But that's, like, the finale is when you find out the mystery of the Akatsuki is the fucking finale of the show.
Yeah, the mystery is a little underwhelming, really.
It's what we described. These guys made these... The overlords, one of them made humans and one of them made Agitos to...
And then the dark overlord sunk the ship,
and it was on a lake. There was an ancient civilization there. Some pots. The end.
It was cool.
It was like he stood there.
Did you know that Mana has the best ass in Japan?
Yeah. Every time we mention Mana, we always mention that. After her actress turned 18, mind you, she was voted best ass in Japan. I think it was in 2007 or something.
I think it was 3 years in a row. She got best ass in Japan.
3 years running. That's impressive.
I mean, not since then, but I don't know if she's still got a competitive ass or not.
I don't know. Surprisingly, I am not up to date on competitive asses in Japan.
Man, you are falling behind.
I haven't subscribed to the magazine. Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
How am I ever going to talk on that other podcast now?
The Ass Cast.
The Ass Cast. Ass Club Radio.
That's a nickname that'll stick around.
No, but the Overlord sticks... He literally comes up and he's like, you, all of you on the boat, you're all Agitos now, and you're going to die. See ya. And, like, it's a tad underwhelming, like you said.
It really is.
For how much buildup there was. And there was an especially weird part that I talked about at length when I was watching it on here, where Shoichi and Ryo get girlfriends for like 2 episodes. And like it turns into a J-drama. Like
it
they get
really
jobs.
Does.
Like, Ryo becomes a mechanic and he's like mentor the old man, like, you gotta let go of your past, Ryo, and he meets a girl, and they both, one of them is an Agito. Shoichi's girlfriend gets the bad Agito CG over her face, and I think she just runs away and never comes back. Ryo's girlfriend, I know, kills herself.
Yeah, she kills herself because she had to date Ryo.
No, she kills herself because in the final arc, everyone who is a Scorpio kills themselves because of some lord power. I don't know. All the Scorpios start killing themselves, and Ryo's girlfriend.
Look, fuck Scorpios. Mm. Here's something I want to talk about.
Okay.
Ryo is a cool character, right? And I enjoy
totally.
Him.
Yeah.
However, he is completely superfluous to this television program.
Yep, pretty much.
And, like, another Agito gets that shit, right?
I was gonna say.
We might not have even had to mention another Agito in this entire fucking spoiler cast.
It's been 37 minutes before mentioning another Agito. That's pretty good.
He
we made it pretty far.
He's technically the fourth rider in the
technically.
Series.
Technically.
Although he transforms, like, three or four times, maybe?
He's absolutely... He's another, just like Mana thinking she killed her dad, he's another, like, oh, we gotta... Give the audience, you guys stave him off while we wait to solve this mystery. Just, here's this guy and he wants to fucking kill all Kamen Riders.
He looks really cool.
He's cool. He's got a cool suit. He's got an angry face. His fight scenes are awesome.
Yeah.
But he's...
He himself is completely pointless.
Really superfluous.
Ryo is not as superfluous, and I enjoy Ryo as a character. I think another Agito's dumb as shit, but...
Like, Ryo might be pretty pointless to the overall conclusion of the story, but he's an interesting character study.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of a man who is turning into a monster. Like, that's not usually explored, especially not in Heisei Rider. But, like, you get to see that descent, where with Shoichi it's so clean. With him it's, like, fucked up, and the skin's peeling off his hand all the time.
He's dying because he's failed. I guess it's to show that there are dire consequences for being an Agito that don't have anything to do with God trying to smite you.
Look, it's your body mutating forcibly.
Yeah. Which, it seems like a short arc would have been good for, but there are times when it cuts to Ryo and I'm like, fuck, what is he even going to do? Is he going to mope a little while longer?
He's gonna fucking have a misunderstanding.
Is he gonna go swimming?
No, he quit swimming.
Yeah, he gave that up. He's a horrible monster mash. They don't allow him in the pool, so...
He's gonna get his fucking Agito Saibos all in there.
I like Ryo, I do. I just feel
I do,
like
I love him.
He should have been melded into the main storyline a little bit better.
There is an amazing bit with Ryo and another Agito. Part of the trying to kill time arc,
mm-hmm.
Where another Ryo gets hurt. I think he gets in a fight. I don't remember what exactly the circumstances was, but he gets hurt real bad. And they're like, "Yeah, this guy needs surgery." And another Agito's like, "I'll do it," because he knows he's like, "I'll just kill him on the surgery table. It'd be easy." But another Agito is one of his arms is his brother's arm because he lost it in a mountaineering accident, and his brother died, so they just gave him his arm. So he's holding the scalpel with his brother arm, and he's about to slit. Ryo's throat, and then the arm stops, and he's like, "Ah, my brother's soul in my arm is stopping me. What the frig?
Liquid!"
I think this came out before Metal Gear Solid 2.
I
want to specify.
So.
I'm pretty sure this was before MGS2, which is so fucked up.
Kojima saw it and was like, "Fuck yeah, that's great."
While everyone else in the world was making a bad face at it, Kojima was like, "Oh no, I can do something with this ghost arm." Is that a thing in Japan? Is that like a modern folklore thing?
I've only seen it in those two things, so
I feel like there may be a thing that ghosts can go inside limbs in Japan.
Shit, my arm is haunted.
Yu-Gi-Oh does it a bit too.
Really?
Yu-Gi-Oh does it very briefly.
Jesus.
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's always very briefly, too.
It's always briefly. Except for Metal Gear.
Where it was the whole plot
of two
games.
Central plot. And then reveals that it was all fake! Fuck Metal Gear Solid 4!
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 4 was a masterpiece.
All that stupid shit with the ghost arm, and then he's like, "Yeah, I was just pretending. Wouldn't that be dumb if it was an actual ghost arm? I was just pretending the whole time."
Did you know nanomachines can turn you into a vampire?
They make him immortal. He gets shot in the head.
Yeah, he can literally survive anything.
Nanomachines.
Miracle of the Modern World, nanomachines.
Oh, we have to do a Metal Gear spoiler cast just once.
Metal Gear spoiler
cast? Fuck Rider Club Radio just for 1 week, and we'll just talk about the plot of Metal Gear just for 1 week.
Technically, we can do whatever. Like, there's nothing stopping us from doing whatever the fuck we want.
That's true. We're free humans. We have agency in this world.
We could do it. That's something that might happen sometime in the future. Look out for
someday.
It.
I can't get enough of Metal Gear's plot.
Oh my god. It's even better now that Metal Gear Solid 5 came out.
I haven't played it. I hear it wrecks everything.
And it makes even less fucking sense at the end of it.
I know the spoiler. I know the
spoiler.
Well,
let's not spoil
that.
Let's get back to Agito.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, actually, I was about to go on a way big tangent.
Yeah, no fucking doubt. I had to steer the car back on the road before we ended up in the Mojave.
So, there's a dumb, stupid ghost arm plot with Kyle Rukino, and then he gets his powers stolen because the writers stopped figuring out what to do. Like, yeah, he served his purpose.
They're like, why the fuck do we have a fourth Rasa? Like, the actual writer came back from vacation, and he was like, what the fuck is this? Let's just erase that real quick.
You literally called him another Agito? What are you idiots doing?
Nobody could call me? I had service.
That's, speaking of the writer, isn't it astonishing that it was Inoue that wrote this show?
Well, there are traits of Inoue in this program.
Yeah,
it's just
there is
Inoue light.
There is. I always point to the misunderstanding. Classic Agito, Aki Sakaki, who has the dumbest name in writer history.
Aki Sakaki.
She dies in Agito's arms as he's trying to save her, and Ryo sees this. Oh, Agito's holding her in his arms. That must mean he killed her. I better not ask him.
That is the misunderstanding, as seen in Kamen Rider the First,
as seen in Q Ranger, as seen in 50 million other Japanese things. That's just the classic. It's a classic trope.
It's a shitty trope, is what it is.
How, like, maybe if he was holding a literal smoking gun, you could make that mistake.
Like, how... Did you kill my fucking girlfriend? No, a monster came and I fought him. Oh, okay.
Like, someone dies and it's like, okay, who's the closest person standing within 100 feet?
It's proximity.
That guy. That crossing guard did it.
It's fucking... there's a girl at home in the apartment building across the street. She's the closest. She fucking
definitely
killed her.
Her.
And it's dumb as fuck, and the arc is resolved in a way that no other Inoue arc has ever resolved, where Ryo just finds out that Shoichi is Agito, and he's like, oh shit, I'm sorry! Please forgive me!
He actually is like, well, I made a mistake, shit. Sorry, dude.
Inoue fucking wrote that, and then 5 minutes later he was like, wait, what? Why did I write that?
He wrote it, and then he was like, well, I did it once, now I can never do it again.
I can point back at this every time somebody shits on me for my writing.
The sad thing is, I love it when heroes fight each other. I love Kamen Rider when it's rider versus the monsters, but I hate it when it's contrived like that.
I'm tired of that shit.
I like my tatakai.
I really am. Like, I love it, and I am also really tired of it, because the monsters become completely superfluous.
Mm.
When it becomes writer versus writer, because the writers don't care. The writers don't care about the monsters anymore.
Well, both, really.
Like, the monsters will show up or whatever, but then they get killed immediately so the writers can fight each other.
Yeah, yeah. But I think I like watching writers fight each other more than watching writers fight monsters.
See,
having these
I want
characters...
writers to fight monsters who have personalities and
yeah,
have their own motivations.
The ideal. Yeah, but it's always one-offs with monsters.
Which is pretty good with Forze, really, because all the monsters have their own impetus.
I gotta watch Forze.
And they all have their own personalities.
Gotta watch that shit. And go watch Double next.
Yeah, Double works out like that, too, because all the dopants are criminals who have their own motivations and personalities.
That's pretty cool.
And every episode is like a little mystery.
Yeah, because it's a detective show.
Yeah, fucking Drive didn't really have that.
Yeah, it's true.
Which
Drive
was
purported
my
to be a detective
biggest
show.
Pet peeve with Drive is that there was no real mystery to it.
It had a couple. There always, obviously, there was the dad arc, which was really good.
There was arc with the guy who owned the soup shop or whatever.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that where like the soup made.
Oh, yeah, the soup that made the road mutant super strong.
Yeah.
Super strong.
Oh.
Hey.
God damn. Someone once called you funny, I think, in one of the comments. I don't know what the fuck they were smoking.
But yeah, Drive doesn't have a lot of mystery. Agito is all one big mystery.
It's several mysteries, actually.
There's one good whodunit in Agito where it's there's a guy who has burned alive when there's like nothing around that could burn him, and then they find out later that it was actually like manufactured by a person, and they got to figure out who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it is who is it? I think there's one police character in Agito who's not like in the story very much, who figures it out. It's not Hikawa, it's not Hojo, it's not any of the G3 idiots. There's like one dude who figures it out, and it's sort of like swept under the rug real fast after that. It doesn't like a lot of other stuff.
There's an arc where I don't know if it's the same arc, but there's an arc where Hojo finds out that his mentor is actually behind some crimes.
That's it. It was Hojo. Yeah. It was Hojo.
And Hojo finds it out, and he turns him in. He either could turn him in, and the G3 unit could continue on because, like, of some fucking happenstance, or he could sweep it under the rug, and the G3 unit would get shut down. I think his mentor wanted to shut them down.
Yeah.
And he turns him in. Hojo does the right thing.
Yeah, Hojo. There's a lot of in Agito, there's a lot of police politics over the G3 unit, because mm-hmm. I imagine they spend billions of dollars on making a fucking Iron Man suit, and they need to make sure it's getting returns.
The only person in the G3 unit of any intelligence is Ozawa.
Yeah.
Like, her assistant is a fucking moron, and Hikawa is, like, a goober.
He tries so hard.
He is a great, great man, but he is a klutz.
He's the Rock Lee. He tries so hard.
Well, Rock Lee is the only good character in Naruto, so...
That's true.
If you're a Naruto fan, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, honestly. But the G3 drama is great. I like the arc when they make a V1 suit, and it looks like Gavan, and it almost replaces G3X.
Which is fucking dope!
Yeah.
Anything Gavan-related is dope as fuck.
Like, that's 90% of Hojo shit is, I want to wear G3... I want to be G3.
I
want to
have my own G3. Not you.
I want to be fighting Makoto. Hikawa sucks. I could be a G3.
Yeah, Hikawa's a piece of shit. I'm G3 now.
And then every chance he gets to wear the G3, he fucks it up or runs away.
Because he's terrible.
Because he's terrible. He's a bad man at heart. You gotta have heart to use G3.
He's just a coward. He's terrible at his job, and he's a coward.
Yeah. I love him. I love him so.
I love his actor.
I love his actor. He's got a good actor. Guy's got range.
Hojo has played literally every type of character at this point.
with Amazon Season 2, the cycle is complete. He's played every single character archetype.
Although all of his characters are, like, evil in one way or another.
Yeah, but the dad in Agito is, like, this sort of well-meaning... Like, he's a good guy.
You mean the dad in Amazons?
Did I say Agito?
God, are you drunk?
I like to get a few in me before I sit down to record.
That's preferable. Yeah, he's well-meaning. He's just a horrible monster mash.
He's just...
And he ends up murdering his entire family.
He's a victim. He's a victim.
He's a victim of the Amazon Cybos.
He got hit with some Cybos.
Fuck, I hope I never get hit with Cybos.
You got Cybos in you right now. You're made of human Cybos.
Oh, human Cybos are fine. I just don't want any Amazon Cybos.
No Amazon Cybos. That's fine.
Or whatever the new Cybos are. I don't want those either.
Lysogenic Cybos.
Yeah, lysogenic Cybos. I don't want any of that shit.
Did we ever... Why do we call them Cybos?
Because that's what they're called.
I know, but it just means cells. Why do we always just call them Cybos?
Because I love that word. That's why I've always said it. Yes.
Yeah. I figured there was like a running joke that I forgot about or something, but
I feel like we're dancing around the topic of Agito pretty heavily. This Agito spoiler cast.
All night. I love the ending that he makes a bistro.
Yeah, and that shows up in something else, doesn't it?
It's in Ryuki's movie. They go and eat there. They eat at a restaurant, and it doesn't specify. And as they're leaving, Shoichi is like there, like, hey, I hope you enjoyed your meal. And they're like, yep, it was great.
Yeah, they don't acknowledge him at all. They're just like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, so he was this loser. And then I always remember that because Shinji's actor asked, he's like, is there going to be a Shinji cameo in the Fize movie? And Toei mailed him a little note with a photograph of a hand giving a middle finger.
They wouldn't waste that, the paper on that shit. They sent him a text.
That's 10 cents of stationery, yeah.
They sent him a text with an ASCII middle finger on it. Which is sad, but his actor's such a good guy.
I love him. He does Ryuki's voice in Betrayed War 3, which came out like last year, 2 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, he hasn't done much since. But Agito,
this is, we're crawling our way back to Kamen Rider.
Yeah, we've discussed a lot about Agito amidst other topics. I got through my problem with Hojo. I got through how I like Gills, but he's kind of superfluous. Hikawa is my favorite character in this series.
Hikawa, if not for Knight, would probably be my favorite secondary rider. He's my second
Knight's
favorite.
Your favorite rider, period.
Knight's my favorite rider of all time. Discounting him, though, if he was dead or gone or never existed, Hikawa would be my favorite, probably.
Yeah, Gatak is my favorite.
Oh, Gatak is up there.
Gatak is absolutely my favorite. But Hikawa has this, like, earnestness to him that he's really just trying as hard as he can because he wants to help. And characters tend to have ulterior motives for wanting to help in Kamen Rider. Or some sort of dumb reason. Like, as much as I love Godai Yusuke, he's,
thinks very carefully.
His reason for fighting against the Grongi is stated in a very silly manner. He's trying to protect the smiles.
Which is a little cheesy.
It's a little cheesy, and everybody has something like that, right? But Hikawa's is, I want to stop these horrible monsters from hurting anyone. Which makes a lot more sense to me. And you feel for him because he's all suited up and he's ready to fight. And he shows up and his bullets don't do anything and he just gets thrown around.
It's with Hikawa, he's so relatable and he's so lovable because we've all been there. We've all been at that place where we're trying so fucking hard and everything's going bad.
Yeah.
And we still try our hardest because we got to do it.
And that's the
human struggle. He succeeds eventually. Unlike us.
Gatak.
Unlike poor Gatak.
Gatak succeeds eventually, but it's like the last episode at that point, so
Gatak succeeds in not dying until the end of the series.
Yeah, that's pretty good. A lot of people died.
Yeah.
Nobody real important.
He didn't get turned into a worm or nothing.
Or nothing.
What else is there? What other points do we want to touch on with Agito?
We're closing out here. Agito is a series that, at its core, is based around a mystery that we'd have to get into a lot of specifics in order to talk about heavily. And I don't really want to recount the storyline.
Like, point by point?
Yeah.
No, our spoiler casts are an overview. We talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and that's it. You know what I didn't like?
What's that?
In the second intro, there's a scene where Hikawa slams his badge down on the desk and points his gun at Ozawa. And I was like, holy fuck, I can't wait for that. That's going to be interesting.
I don't remember that at all.
Never happens in the show.
I don't even remember it in the opening.
If you look, you'll see in the second opening. Not the first one doesn't happen. Second opening. He like slams his badge down. He says, fuck this. And then it shows him in full G3 gear minus helmet pointing his gun at Ozawa. And she's all like sitting there like kind of nervous and defiant. And I'm like, oh fuck, I want to see that.
Never happens.
It's just there. It's that Silver Age comic book cover. Where they just show you
a
thing that doesn't happen. Yeah.
It's the gorilla
the talking
cover.
Gorilla syndrome. They just fucking show you something that doesn't happen to entice you.
Yeah.
I fell for
and
it.
And it worked.
It worked so well.
You'd already watched half a show, but I guess it worked double from then on out. I feel like it's weird that Shoichi just keeps calling himself Shoichi.
That's
after the end of the series.
He's like, yeah, I'm actually Tetsuya Sawaki, everyone. And they're like, nah, you're Shoichi. He's like, no, really, I'm Tetsuya. Nah, you're Shoichi.
He's like,
okay, I guess.
He's like, I've called myself Sawaki Tetsuya my entire fucking life until I lost my memory, and then for like 2 months, I was Shoichi but I guess that's my name now.
Yeah, fuck me, if you guys want to keep calling me that.
Bunch of dicks.
I love real Shoichi. He's a good character in this show. His motivations get kind of muddled at points.
I can't even remember what his motivations were.
He works for the Overlord because he wants to know all of humanity, but he can't handle it. He wants to figure out how to handle it. That's his thing. He works for the Overlord at first because of that. And then after that, I think he comes around and decides to stop the Overlord. But I don't think there was like a real moment when it sunk in that that was what he wanted to do. There's a bit at the end where him and the Overlord of Darkness are sitting in a chair. I think it's like the last episode. And they're talking, and the Shoichi's like, yeah, humanity will eventually have to deal with the Agitos. They'll have to live with them. And the Overlord's like, no, they'll never. They'll hunt them, they'll kill them, or the Agitos will kill humans. So there's this kind of interesting interplay between those two characters, but I feel like there was this linchpin missing in Shoichi's character arc.
He's not shown enough for it yeah. to really sink in what type of motivations he has.
But he has a fantastic sequence close to the beginning, where you've seen him before. He's like this mysterious man in the shadows. Oh, mm-hmm. And he goes to visit the Dark Overlord in the hospital. And they're like, yeah, you just got to sign in, sir. You just got to sign your name right here. And he puts his pen down to the page and writes Shoichi Suga. And then he's like, actually, no, I'll write a fake name. And that was the part when I was like, oh, shit. Like,
it's the guy that he got the name from.
That was such a great reveal. That was so smart. I'm certain they stole it from something.
Nah, it's clever as fuck.
So clever.
I talk all the time about modern, like, I guess if you want to fucking call it Neo-Heisei.
Post-decade Heisei.
Post-decade Heisei.
A proper term.
That's the proper term.
Yeah.
Has lost its cinematicness. There's no, like, mm-hmm. The cinematography, the lighting is, like, it's all standard these days.
It's economic.
It's economical, yeah. That's the way to look at it. There are some shots that are more artistic, but they're few and far between. I feel like that sort of artistry was lost from this era, because there is a ton of really, really cool artistic cinematography in Agito. Even from, like, the first shot of Shoichi washed up on the beach, where it's, like, the slow pan in to him with the water, like, crashing into his face in the close-up.
Mm.
And, like, the color balance is really great in that shot. I'm not even, like, a big film and how it's made type of guy or anything, but I can appreciate that type of effort put into it.
There's a lost art in Kamen Rider that has recently been picked up by Amazon's of conveying a tone through cinematography and lighting that doesn't get done anymore. Amazon's does it, but like if you look at the shots and the lighting of say Xaid and Ghost are the same pretty much. Yeah. The cinematographic techniques, if that's even a word, are the same mostly. But if you have that early Heisei, if you look at Agito next to say Ryuki, they have totally different styles. Agito's got a lot of night fights, a lot of more darker lighting, a lot of like grim stuff, close-up shots. It's got a very personal style to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like otherworldly, it gives itself like an alien vibe. I'll always remember this bit when Shoichi goes to real Shoichi's house towards the end, and the lighting is all like green for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives it that weird feeling. It comes off kind of dumb, but like they went for it, and they tried to give it this own tone that doesn't really happen in modern Rider anymore.
Not very often, anyway.
No.
And I mean, like, Agito has, like you said, there's this sort of, like, distance. Even in scenes where, like, it's supposed to be more bright and chipper or whatever, there's like, an underlying tone that something is wrong.
An unease,
and it's done through, like, slightly tilted camera angles, like, the use of lighting, like, long shots out in public that have, like, mostly not too many people around, and you compare and contrast that to, like, Kuga, that has, like, a lot of people around, it's really bright lit.
Yeah, and any scene that's not, like, Grungy's plotting is pretty evenly lit in Kuga, yeah.
And there's actually, like, bright scenes all the time in Kuga where, like, the windows are completely whited out because the light's coming through them so brightly. And
a lot of natural light is nice. Not a lot of that anymore.
No, it's all studio light nowadays. Yeah. Unless they're outside.
Unless they're, of course, you can't avoid natural light.
No.
When you're in the sun.
And that's not to say that one is better than the other, I just feel like, you know.
It's a technique that you should, it's a tool in your toolbox that you should try to use.
And Agito really knocks it out of the park, like, just cinematography-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have a problem with any of the music or anything in the way you did either. I feel like it added a lot for me.
It works for the tone.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of just listening to it.
Well, no. I wouldn't fucking put that shit on and kick back with a Chianti and a cigar or whatever.
I can do that with Kuga's soundtrack. A lot of Kuga's tracks I can just listen to, but Agito's I can't really.
No. You would just be on edge the whole time. There would be no relaxing.
I'd feel like there was a monster creeping into my apartment to murder me.
Which there is. Which
there is, yeah. Jeff.
Oh, no. I just feel like overall Agito is a series that's maybe a little overlooked compared to Kuga.
It's a little overshadowed, yeah.
Like, Kuga and Agito are so similar visually.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, the characters, the way that the characters are designed, the way the suits are designed, the way the monsters are designed, that I couldn't imagine two shows that are more different besides that, though.
Yeah.
Like, they have absolutely nothing to do with each other when it comes to tone or character growth or interaction.
Pacing of the story is totally different, yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt. They do a lot to differentiate, but it's all mostly in non-visual departments.
I'd say Agito is definitely in my top five series.
Top five is a good pick for Agito.
And I just feel like more people should give Agito more of a chance.
Yeah, if you are a fucking idiot and listened all the way to the end of this without
watching Agito. We told you not to!
I warned you, go watch Agito.
We didn't technically give away the ending that bad, I guess.
We kind of, yeah.
Kuga Rider kicks God in the face at the end. Fucking Agito.
Kuga shows up. It is a crossover after all.
It's a crossover. Agito Rider kicks God in the face at the end of it, and it's fucking awesome.
It does Fiza's ending right, where there's a big attack and then it's ambiguous, but the ambiguity is cleared with a happy ending and not this vague bullshit that Fiza pulls.
Fize is such a piece of shit.
Fize is the worst.
I can't do a Fize spoiler cast ever because it'll just be so tainted by the last, like, 20 episodes of that show.
Maybe in the far future, like, when we haven't just spent 25 weeks talking about it, but...
Yeah.
Not soon. Fuck that TV show.
Agito's difficult to discuss. Because, like I said, it's one plot point leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, and the characters develop throughout them and learn and grow. But one, I don't want to go through all those plot points point by point. That'd be like a 6-hour podcast. Mm-hmm. And two, I haven't seen it in like 8 years, so I can't.
Yeah, I'm coming in a little fresher than Jeff. You should rewatch Agito. And you out there should also rewatch Agito.
And we need to pick another show to watch on our podcast once Amazon Season 2 ends.
Yeah, something that neither of us have seen, so we can watch through it together.
That's
maybe an old Sentai show.
Maybe.
We'll see. A lot of Sentai shows neither of us have seen. Yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Do you have any closing thoughts on Agito, Liam?
Great show marred by a kind of drudging third act. But good characters, good mystery, great fight choreography, another thing. We can't touch on everything in 1 hour, but the fight choreography is great. The cinematography and lighting is really good. It's just a good show overall. I still can't believe to this day that Inoue wrote it. It's really good.
It's mind-blowing that he had anything to do with it, let alone that he wrote it.
This is before his downfall halfway through Fies.
Yeah, the fight choreography is another good point to touch on, because holy shit are some of the fights in Agito spectacular.
Fucking intense.
And the night fights, which night is fights. My favorite type of fight scene.
Agito's packed with them.
It's mostly night fights in Agito, actually.
Like, Kuga's very, the Grongi are very out in the open, they just kill wantonly.
Mm-hmm.
The Lords are very secretive. They murder in the night, and you find the guy in the morning, halfway inside a wall, or whatever.
Turn into a pile of ash.
Turn into a pile of graham crackers, or whatever the hell they do. An impossible crime.
killed by pine cones. I think that was an actual one.
My favorite is the one that teleports you up into the sky and just throws you down.
That's dope.
That's dope such as a fuck. Great that's power. How I want to die.
I don't want to die like that at all. Fuck that. But that's a great power to have. I will
Do you have
say,
any closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts are that I didn't touch on the fact that the monsters aren't very impressive looking.
Nah.
Like, the overlords are alright. They suffer from Grongi syndrome, where they're just sort of like normal people. Human bodies with like a monster head.
Yeah.
They're cool looking, and they have like an aesthetic, but they reuse the same suits all the time. There's like 8 suits, and they just reuse them for the whole show.
Yeah, I remember there being a lot of tiger lords.
Yeah, like there were a lot of bird lords, too.
Bird lords, yeah.
But it's supposedly because there are different tribes of them. Or no, that was Kuga.
Gotta save that budget.
They're like related to each other or something, I don't know. But
there's some bullshit, yeah.
It was a little disheartening for that. Otherwise, besides the problems that you just stated, Kuga... fucking Kuga. Agito is just an amazing series.
I agree.
And I love it. And I wish that I was fresher on it so I could discuss it more readily. But I feel like this has gone just as in-depth as any other spoiler cast has gone, so don't fucking at me.
It's if you start getting into it, you're going to have to go all the way into it, and we're going to be sitting here for 4 more hours.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So let's leave it at this.
Let's leave it at this. Hopefully you gained some insight with a little bit of the trivia we dropped and some of the opinions we brought across into Kamen Rider Agito that you didn't have before. And listen to Rider Club Radio. It's a good podcast.
Next week we're going to do 2 episodes of Amazons because we skipped it this week.
Yeah, and we'll get to your emails that you sent in this week next time.
See ya.
Thanks everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Yeah, ready to go, cancel all, coming like